Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what an honor we have to come to you. The amazing miracle that the veil was rent as you gave your life for us, that we have the access to come directly to you, to come to the throne of grace. So here we are this morning, Lord, and we want to thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for the washing of your water as we hear the thunder and lightning at night and the rain comes down and just reminds us of how your word washes us, Lord, and the eternal supply of water, indicative of your Holy Spirit, which never runs dry. So, Lord, lead us this morning in prayer. And, Lord, there are those here that are having some physical issues, I understand, digestive issues and alimentary canal, so forth. So we just pray for their healing, and we just pray for strength, and we just pray for availability to do and be whatever you would have us to do and to be today, and that we would begin this hour in prayer, Lord, and just honor you with our lips and with our hearts as we sing a song and open your word and just spend a few moments in it and on it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, turn to Psalm 23 today. We were in Psalm 22 yesterday, and of course 23 follows 22, and yesterday was the suffering Messiah and his, in a sense, resurrection, and to posterity what would occur, and the beautiful, beautiful picture of our Messiah dying for us. Today we move the next chapter, as you know, into the shepherd phase. The shepherd phase. He is our good shepherd. He is our shepherd. And so I wanted to just begin by singing, He Leadeth Me. And we read here in Psalm 23 a couple of times it says, He leads us, He leads us. So I was thinking of this song of He Leadeth Me. So let's just sing worshipfully, He Leadeth Me. Faithful he is in leading us. Reading through these six short verses of probably the best known psalm in the Bible, entitled The Lord, the Shepherd of His People, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We don't know what time in David's life that he wrote this, but most think it was near the end. He could look back over God's faithfulness. He obviously had a very close understanding of sheep and of a shepherd because he was a shepherd boy. And he begins by saying, "The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd." Not the Lord might be, or the Lord is part-time, or the Lord once in a while is, but the Lord is. He is the shepherd, yes, but not only the shepherd, He's my shepherd. Just think of the impact of that alone. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, many of us may think, being compared to a sheep, that that's a nice comparison because we like the pretty little lambs and, you know, they're so cute to watch them bounce around and they're so clean looking and white. But that's not really the intended use of the word here. The intended use of the word here is we are dumb animals that need to be cared for. We have no protection. We have no fangs. We have no claws. We're helpless. And sheep are notoriously the dumbest of all animals, if not the dumbest, one of the dumbest. And if they wander away from the flock just over a brow of a hill or around a corner, they're lost. They can't reason it out and say, "Well, I was just with the flock. I must be here pretty close. I'll wander around and find it." They just are lost. Or if they try, you try to take them across a river, they'll all drown. They're not good swimmers. So really, they're very helpless animals that need care, that need a shepherd. And so that's us. That's the picture here. And who is our shepherd? Our Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty is our shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. And it says, "I shall not want," that really could be translated, "need any good thing." I shall not need any good thing because He takes care of me, doesn't He? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I see that as a type, really, of the Word of God. We are fed by the Word of God, right? Rich, nourishing, plentiful, green pastures. The sheep is not eating off the rocks. The sheep is eating grass, enough grass to lie down in. So He makes me to lie down, or He causes me, is another word for makes there. He causes, and He causes us to do everything, doesn't He? Did you save yourself? No. Did you even seek Him on your own? No. He caused you to do that. Are you here this morning to pray on your own? No, I think He causes us to pray. I think He causes us to do everything, His children. He causes us to lie down in green pastures. And then here's the first leads. He leads me beside the still waters. And this word leads is a little different than the words in the next verse. This word means He is actually going ahead of us. He's leading us and we're following Him. Whereas the next lead will be He's kind of behind us, prodding us and encouraging us. But this first leads here is, He leads me beside the still waters. Of course, anytime we see water, we think of the Holy Spirit, don't we? And what does the Holy Spirit do in your life? It gives you quietness. Not rapids. I mean, it's not like a huge roaring river. But spiritually, you come to peace. And the sheep need still waters. In fact, they won't even drink if the water is moving pretty fast in a stream, I understand. And the shepherd may have to dam the water up a little bit to get it to stop for them to even drink. Also, I read that most sheep can go a month, 30 days, on just the dew and the grass. They don't need an awful lot of sheep. And those adapted to the wilderness areas, of course, are more able to go without water than those that aren't. But it says here, He leads me beside the still waters. Be thankful today that He's doing that for you. Restores my soul. At these conferences, over and over again, I guess we always hear that those who need restoration, those who need refilling, those who are worn down, those who've been giving out more than they've been taking in, and they're just on empty, or maybe even stopped, out of fuel. But He restores. He's a restorer of my soul, not just my body, but my very inmost being. He's a restorer of that. And then He leads, or in this case, encourages or prods me in the paths of righteousness. That's one of the best verses, I think, because He saves you, praise the Lord. He forgives your sin, praise the Lord. He wipes them away, praise the Lord. But He also causes you, or leads you, or prods you, and encourages you in walking in righteousness. Isn't that good? Righteousness often in the Bible means being right with your fellow man. It's the right way of living, living in accordance with the Word of God. But He leads us in the paths. And notice that's plural, paths, not just path. But we have paths of righteousness. And like for every situation, there is a righteous way. And why? For our sake? It says for His name's sake. The name of God. The name of Jesus Christ. What's the first petition in the model prayer? Hallowed be Thy name, right? Set apart Thy name. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And so as we pray for kings and those in authorities, every knee will bow to Jesus Christ, to the name of Jesus Christ. So just think about the importance of this name. And He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And then He says, yea, or that could be even though, yea though, or yes though, or even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And these words have been a comfort to so many people on their deathbed throughout the centuries. But every word there is very important. In a way, He's saying you're going to walk through it. You're not going to have to run through it. You're not going to have to crawl through it. You're not going to have to stop and be in it a long time, but you're walking through the valley, the shadow. Have you ever been bitten by the shadow of a dog? Have you ever been bitten or hurt by a shadow ever? No. A shadow is there because there's a light there, right? But the shadow is not to be feared. The shadow of death. The death is not in the Hebrew, I don't believe. I believe that word is identified as deepest darkness. Deepest darkness. Yea, I walk through the valley of deepest darkness. So the deepest darkness you and I will ever have in these bodies are really at that time when that transformation comes, but absent from the body, present with the Lord. And it's just it looks to me like a great experience. So you know, some people say, oh, I hope we have the rapture of the church. Hope we have the rapture of the church. Well, I do too. But God's going to determine when that day is. And I'm looking forward to meeting my Lord. I don't care if it's with all of you guys or one at a time. And I'll probably get there first, you know, but at any rate, not going there in that thought. Yea, though I walk through the deepest darkness, I will fear no evil. That may mark one of the biggest differences between a believer and an unbeliever. The unbelievers are scared to death of dying, and I'm scared to death for them for dying too, because if they die without the Lord, eternally apart from the Lord, eternally in, Jesus said, where the worm does not die, the fire is not quenched. And this should really prompt us to pray for the lost when we see these kinds of things. But here for us, I will fear no evil. Evil all around us, but you don't fear it because you're safe in the hands of our shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, the two basic items of a shepherd, or rod, a straight rod, sometimes had a ball on the end, kind of like this, that you could throw at a sheep to get its attention if you needed to, or maybe ward off animals, and then the crook. The crook is the staff that's got the crook on it where he can lift you out of trouble. And so our shepherd, can you see that in your life? Sometimes he uses the rod, but sometimes he uses the staff, doesn't he? The crook to rescue you or to pull you or to lift you or to recover you. And then you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I think sometimes we think it's strange that we have enemies. We're doing the Lord's work. And how could we have any enemies at all? Well, does your Was your Lord free from enemies in his lifetime? No way. We will have enemies. We will have resistance. And we need nourishment during the battle, right? But typically, a soldier in the heat of the battle will not be cooking his own food. You get K-rations. I don't know what you call them in different places in the United States. The Army has K-rations. They're canned stuff. And the soldier can eat on the run. They can eat and fight and can just continue. And that's kind of the picture here, I think, because he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, meaning he's preparing the food, primarily spiritual, I think, and he's continually feeding us. He's preparing feeding us so we can continue in the battle, right? We can continue to proclaim the word and to do what he would have us to do. You anoint my head with oil. And of course, we think of oil, we think of symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And you anoint my head with oil. Now, the shepherd had a little different idea there. The shepherd, particularly when they would come into the growing season, and often they would take the sheep up to a higher elevation where the grass was better and where it doesn't grow in the winter, of course. And then they would inspect each sheep very carefully as they get into the growing season and or the fattening up season. And they would anoint any cuts, tears, skin, or whatever with oil. And isn't that like you and I getting kind of banged up every day? And he anoints us with oil. Isn't that great? And we want that anointing to the point where it's running over. Running over, it says next, my cup runneth over, right? What's it run over from? It runs over from the Spirit, I think, among other things. And then it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, that could also be translated only. Only goodness and mercy. If you only have goodness and mercy the rest of your life, is that awesome or what? All the days of my life. I believe that is here and beyond. And then it says, I will dwell. That means settle down. That means return. Means coming home to. It means staying permanently. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So that's the picture of the good shepherd taking care of his sheep. Lord, we thank you for this great picture of your love for us. You're feeding us. You're tending us. You're delivering us, equipping us, restoring us. And Lord, we want to just pray this morning as you would lead us now for a few moments, praying for those things you put on our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.